I done came up, busting down a whole bag. Broke against that bag. Watch people getting swag. Ain't even gotta ask. What are those? What is that? Please don't touch my rap. Please don't touch my rap.
I'm racked up like rappers. I'm wrapped up on camera. Get knocked out.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the Vietes Rundown. As always, I'm your host, Manny Vietes. On this episode, I wanted to give you guys a clear, concise, in-depth view of what has been going on within the New York Knicks organization over the last couple of days, months, and years that has ultimately led to the Phil Jackson buyout, the concerns surrounding Melo, and the Knicks' new draft pick, Frank Nicotina. And in order of doing so, I wanted to bring in my good friend, Mike Sapp, writer at Vibe Magazine in New York City. And if you guys don't know what Vibe Magazine is, it is a culture magazine that has hip-hop elements. He has some great stuff over there. He has an interview with Joe Budden and a couple other hip-hop greats. So if you want to go over there and check that out, you're more than welcome to. This episode, we just talked about New York Knicks basketball, what has been going on with the New York Knicks organization, and what are the Knicks going to do about it. The Knicks just bought out Phil Jackson's contract, I think it was yesterday. And then now, what are the Knicks going to do to move forward? They drafted Frank Nicotina in this year's draft, and they could have drafted some other players. And in this episode, we talk about Phil Jackson buyout, Carmelo Anthony's future with the New York Knicks, and what has been going on within James Dolan's head over the last couple of years. Will he want to tear down the roster and go into full rebuild mode, or will he want to build a new young team around Kristaps Porzingis? So we don't know. We're all speculating right here, but we're giving some great insight on this episode, and I wanted to bring in my good friend Mike Sapp in to have a New Yorker's perspective. So I hope you guys enjoy the episode. If you guys haven't done so already, subscribe to the podcast. Go follow me on Twitter and on Instagram. I would greatly appreciate it. Follow up on all your NBA news. So hope you guys enjoy the episode. I'm putting the audio right now at the end of this clip. So hope you guys have a great rest of your day. All right, peace. All right, so on today's show, I got Vibe Magazine's Mike Sapp. He is from New York. He is a fan and long life supporter of the New York Knicks. And I just met him recently in New York for the NBA draft. So I wanted to get him on the show, talk a little bit about the New York Knicks and what's actually going on there right now, which is kind of it's kind of crazy that I met him and then all this stuff just started happening, kind of a downward spiral of all this stuff with the franchise. So, Mike Sapp, how are you doing today, brother?
I'm good, man. What's going on, Manny? I'm glad to be on the show. Let's do this.
Let's do it. All right. So, initial reactions, man, to the Phil Jackson buyout.
Man, that was crazy. This crazy. Seeing it was like the news broke around midnight over here. I think Woj dropped one of his signature bombs saying that Dolan was looking into getting rid of Jackson. And then I went to sleep. I wake up 3 a.m. and Ramona Shelbourne says Phil Jackson's going to be getting relieved of his duties. And I mean, I couldn't believe it. I was ecstatic, honestly, the next day. And then once like the whole East Coast woke up and heard the news, I think it's just been a relief. I mean, they knew that Phil he's been awful. I mean, and I think everyone's just happy to move on from him and really get into this next era of Knicks basketball.
Yeah, man, and it kind of sucks that this new era is kind of starting couple of days after the draft when you could have started the new era 2 days, 5 days before. It could have been completely different. You could have drafted someone completely different instead of drafting Frank Nicotina. I know you're upset about that a little bit. The Knicks went in there, drafted 18-year-old point guard out of France, Frank Nicotina. No one really knew who he was. Another one of those Phil Jackson, acquisitions. But Porzingis worked, so he probably thought that this was going to work as well. But now with this team reshaping the way that they're trying to, reshape, you don't want a player like that leading this team. What's your take on that, man? Because I would be kind of salty if the Kings were to do something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, I mean, the Knicks never do things logically. After this past year, actually, Phil and James Dolan, they had an opt-out clause in the contract, so they could have just cut bait right there. But I guess Dolan wanted to honor the deal, and then all this other stuff that we just talked about transpired. And then we picked Frank Nilakina. He seems like a perfect triangle fit. And then, like you just said, a couple of days later, Phil Jackson's gone, and he doesn't – now we picked a guy that doesn't even fit the system that we're trying to run. We're trying to get up and down, a lot more pick and roll now, like Jeff Hornacek did with the Suns. So, obviously, Dennis Smith or Malik Monk would have been the pick. So, I definitely think we're a little disappointed. But I mean, after Porzingis, I think Knicks fans know not to get too crazy about draft picks. This kid's 18. Let's let him grow with Porzingis, and hopefully they could be that European duo.
Yeah, they almost weren't going to be that European duo because Phil Jackson was going to, trying to teach him a lesson by putting him on the trading block the day of the NBA draft and the days before. That was insane. I was in New York. You saw that sign. I don't know if that was real or not. It said, don't trade
Porzingis. Yeah, Cycle, I guess. Bicycle, that's an outlet out here. They bought billboard space and put that up right outside MSG, which is awesome. That's hysterical. But yeah. It's. I think that might have been what put James Dolan over the edge, to be honest with you, dangling your young prospect and then wanting to buy out Carmelo Anthony, who has 2 years left on his deal at over $50 million. I think James Dolan just had enough after seeing those two and knew Phil just wasn't the man for the job that he thought he was when he hired him in 2014.
Yeah, it was. I mean, and coming from Dolan's perspective, it's like, he wanted to see where Phil Jackson could take him. Obviously, 11 championships, played, Coach Michael Jordan, Coach Kobe Bryant, and to be honest with you, Melo could have been like that too, but if it was going to happen, it could have happened in Denver, earlier. But Phil obviously didn't do what he was brought in there to do. 3 years, losing record, all this negative thing after negative thing after negative thing, and you're in a organization where the orchestrator of it all, Dolan, literally keeps giving people chances. Like in the past, he gave Isaiah Thomas numerous chances before they ultimately got rid of him as well. And then I saw Isaiah Thomas tweet today. He's like, "Yo, I'm not interested in coming back for the
took his name out of the running." Which, thank God, we're all happy. We're like, "Yeah, stay with the Liberty, Isaiah. You do your thing over there. We'll get a new guy."
Yeah, I think he tweeted. I think he said. I'm good with the New York Liberty with the WNBA team.
Yep, I'm happy about that. Thank God. We definitely don't want him coming back over here to be the team president. Let's try someone else.
Yeah, so it wasn't just something that just happened, these last weeks right before the draft. It wasn't just the Porzingis, let's see if we can trade him type thing or the anything that happened after the draft, to be honest with you. This is an ongoing thing. Throughout the whole season, no one took accountability for anything really, especially with the Derrick Rose thing.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want to just talk about that a little bit, how was that all, how did that all transpire in New York? Like
Derrick exactly. Rose. Yeah, it's just how crazy.
How can you be an NBA player and you have a team supposedly, right? And you can't even inform another teammate that, that you're not going to come to a game, like, and then you have to have your other teammates go in front of the media after and like kind of be clueless about what's going on. Like, I don't understand that. Like, but the thing is, that doesn't start with Derrick Rose. That starts with the person, like front office, the coaches, that starts with the whole attitude around that. So that was kind of just like basically just showed everybody how things are getting ran in there.
Exactly. It's an unstable organization. Like you said, it starts at the top and then it trickles down. And I think that Derrick Rose thing, I mean, I've never seen anything like that. And like you said, it was unfair to his teammates and stuff. And it's still amazing that there was rumors that they would want to bring him back this offseason. But Phil was still publicly like destroying Porzingis after missing his exit meeting. But a guy missed a game and it was just a slap on the wrist, maybe a fine. And that was it.
Yeah, then we could talk about that exit meeting too. Like, where do you draw the line with, what's okay, what's not okay? Like an exit meeting interview, who really cares? Like when you guys were on the worst teams in the NBA, and you're the best player on the, if you're the best player on the team, you're the worst team in the NBA, it kind of doesn't really matter. Like to me, it doesn't really matter, especially when your team doesn't care about anything. And that's probably the mindset that Porzingis had. He's like, why should I come to do this stuff if the people ahead of me don't even care? And then Phil Jackson just decides to care out of nowhere and then, tries to dish you off towards the NBA draft just to teach you a lesson. That just was kind of – that kind of just showed me, where Phil Jackson's at mentally now. I don't think he'll probably will ever, be an executive of an NBA team ever again.
I hope not. I don't wish that on anyone.
he might take like a role of like helping out, just to be that guy in the room, just to maybe secure some free agents.
Yeah, like an advisory role or consultant. Like it'd be amazing if he goes to the Warriors and does that or something funny.
Like if he goes to the Warriors, like of course, like people are gonna be like, wow, this, now let's get our front office stacked. Yeah, you know what I mean? So now Phil Jackson's out. We have Steve Mills now running the show. Free agency is coming up in 2 days. So it's going to start. I think it starts tonight. Like at
July 1st. And when is that? Friday?
Yeah. July 1st. So like almost 24 hours away for you.
Yeah.
So what are some things that, you know, he's coming in now, you know, kind of blind, you know, try to pick this team up from the ground up, you know, with what they can. They got some money. They can still get some people. They can still deal Melo somewhere too.
I think he should be the one doing that since he knows it's a temporary job and they're going to replace him for a few weeks. So I would be crazy if I was him.
Yeah. I know it's a temporary job, but what I'm saying is that, like, you know, if you don't get rid of Melo right now or see where, you know, if, you know, find a team for him that he wants to go to, like, say, for instance, Cleveland or Houston or wherever, you know, you need to make that happen right now. Like, you need to go ahead and do that. Like, because what are you doing if you're not trying to, you know, like, I was reading something today, you know, like in the NBA right now, there's two different spheres. There's the people that are in it and there's people that are out of it. You know, like that's the Warriors, the Spurs, the Cavs, and then the people that are completely out of it. Like you can be the Toronto Raptors, you know, one of the top seeds in the Eastern Conference, and you're still out of it.
You got 0% chance.
Yeah. And then, you know, when you're the Knicks, you got like a, you know, negative 50% chance. So what does Steve Mills do? How can he start this rebuild? And I feel like it starts with moving Melo because you got to start from the ground up. But
I see what you're saying about Melo, but I actually disagree about trading him right away because I think that teams are looking at Paul George and Gordon Hayward. So I think those dominoes have to fall and you see where they land. And whatever teams miss out on them, I think then they turn their focus to Carmelo and then you deal him. So I don't think it's going to happen right away. I think it's going to be a few weeks. And by that time, hopefully we have a president.
Yeah, the only thing that's the problem with that though is that no trade clause. Like he doesn't have to leave if you don't want.
It's up to him. He has all the cards. You're right.
So I mean, if Paul George gets dealt to, you know, Cleveland and, you know, whatever, Gordon Hayward goes to Houston, like, you know, where he's not going to go anywhere else. Like,
yeah, I don't know where he'd want to go. I had on my list Washington. I would hope Washington or Boston, maybe. I don't know if he would ever.
Now you can start seeing these teams start to build super teams like the Warriors. Obviously, the Spurs are not a super team. They have, you know, they're like kind of the only team that's kind of doing it the right way. Like, the Warriors did it the right way, but the Spurs are doing it, you know, ground up type thing too. But like now you got the Timberwolves. Now you got the
definitely. There's definitely teams that are trying to, like, they're on their way up. Like you said, you referenced Houston and Minnesota. But I don't know if anyone's really in that class with Cleveland and Golden State yet. So I don't know. But as far as the Knicks, if I'm Steve Mills, I'm just targeting young guys with an upside. So basically their arrow on their career is pointing up. I just had a few names I jotted down. Like, you know a lot about Ben McLemore. I thought him, Shabazz Muhammad, James Young, Trey Burke, Deion Waiters, Darren Collison. Just guys who are like younger. But I mean, I think Collison would be a cheap point guard option to play and someone Frank could learn from. But the other options I thought were just young guys that could come in and help. And maybe you find a potential role player for when this team is actually starting to compete in a few years.
No, yeah, exactly. Like you said, Darren, you know, I've spent a lot of time with Darren. Darren's like wrote about him this whole last couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, he would be the perfect fit to go to New York and, you know, just basically teach Frank Nicotino the ways. Like, he's definitely a role model type player. Guys like him. He's a locker room guy. He's a leader. You know, he played behind Chris Paul, you know, for years. He knows how to win and he knows how to be that type of player. And he's not bad either, you know, scoring 16, 17 points a game. But I feel like he's going to be out of Sacramento though. They need a move. De'Aaron Fox has to start. He has to.
And it's his team now. So Darren is definitely going to move. And I think, like you just said, he seems like a great mentor figure for Frank. And I hope we go after someone like that rather than spending big money on a point guard like a Jeff Teague or a Drew Holiday where you're shelling out $20 million a year, which I just don't think would be smart.
No, exactly, man. Like, as I said, I just don't think that you know, I think that I feel like you guys should get rid of Melo, though, because that will literally take the whole, like, weight off your team. You guys can start new, because that's the only thing that's, like, stopping you guys from doing anything, like, anything. And, you know, Dolan didn't want it. I feel like Melo's not going to get moved, to be honest with you. I feel like he's going
to stay.
He
wants to stay?
I don't think he wants to stay. I think he wants to win because he's getting old. And now he sees CP3 going to the Rockets, his best friend. You know what I mean? He's seen his best friends go to Miami and win a championship together. Like, now he's like, dude, what's going on? Like, I thought I was going to come to New York and win a championship.
Yeah,
and
be that, not looking like that at all. That's not happening here. But I really would let the new GM or president decide Melo's future. So I would look at – I'm hoping they look at David Griffin, who was just let go by the Cavs. Maybe that could be a blessing in disguise that we waited till now to do this and he's actually available. So I would look at something like that.
And you trade, and you go and trade him, like you go trade players with the Cavs, and you get Iman Shumpert and J.R. Smith.
Now that would be funny, yeah. But yeah, Cleveland's definitely a spot for Melo to land. He definitely would love to play with LeBron, and to be the third or fourth option over there, he would definitely. Man, he'd have a great season. I think it'd be a good spot for him.
No, yeah, exactly. So I heard stuff about Jeff Teague today.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that? He has mutual interest in coming to play for the New York Knicks. You know, what's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, like I just said before, I personally, I don't think we should be spending big money on a point guard, on someone like Jeff Teague or Drew Holiday, because what does that really say about us? Like, what are we, at best case, an eighth seed? You know what I mean? To me, I'd rather just get younger, let Frank grow with these guys like Willie Hernan Gomez and Kristaps Porzingis, and you know what? Basically, if we're going to be bad, we have our pick next year. We're going to be bad. You know what I mean? I wouldn't dive in for a point guard like Jeff Teague. I don't know. What do you think?
I like Jeff Teague. He probably definitely wants out of, you know, Indiana. Of Indiana. Maybe they can who knows? Maybe he could be a piece in that like a three-team trade, you know, with the Cavs. You know, you never know. And with Paul George, Jeff Teague, Melo, like you never know. I mean, that could, you know what I mean? Something could work right there. You know, because Paul George wants to go to Cleveland, but he only wants to go if LeBron says he's going to stay there for a while.
True. Yeah, I think that's he's got it.
Yeah, I mean, like the biggest, you know, like the biggest, you know, things in free agency right now, our biggest players definitely Paul George and Gordon Hayward at the moment.
Yeah.
And Paul George is like that last, you know, year on his contract is like what's like the overhanging thing of everybody's life right now. Like, you know, that's literally like deciding everybody's future for every single team. Because people are not only preparing for right now, they're preparing for 2 years from now, 3 years from now, because he's going to sign somewhere, you know, and, you know, and people are just trying to put their case in for that now. So I'm going to go back to the Knicks a little bit. So let's just talk about exclusively just about the Knicks pick, Frank Nicotina.
Yeah.
I did some stuff on him because I thought the Kings were possibly going to draft him. I know he's a good point guard. He can get to the basket. He's a slasher. He's long. Can play great defense. You know, what have you seen from him?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't know that much about him, but I did watch some highlights and watched, like, some of his games and stuff. And, yeah, I thought he was a good fit for the triangle, honestly. So, yeah, like you said, he's long. He plays good defense. He can knock down the open jumper, and he can attack the rim, which, I mean, that hopefully those skills transfer over to the NBA, and him and Kristaps become a great duo. But it just sucks that we're going to be running this new system. Like, man, if Dennis Smith or Malik Monk become a great player, I'm going to be pretty pissed off.
Dude, yeah, I remember I texted you as soon as you guys picked Frank, and I was like, you guys fucked up. I'm messed up. My bad.
Yeah, it sucks.
Wow, I just, you know, that was a little blooper right there, but okay. Frank Nicotina, though, I feel like he's going to be a good fit. He's definitely a young guy, whatever. We'll see what happens with him. We have to see wait and see what these foreign guys do because you never really know.
Exactly. This head's got to be spinning, man. To come to New York, then 2 days later, your president, the guy who drafted you, gets fired. I mean, he's been all around. I know he was like from Rwanda, then he went to Belgium, and then he bounced around to France, and now he's in New York, and this is all by 18 years old, so – he's got a lot on his plate, and I hope the best for him, to be honest with you. Obviously, every day, I think, though.
No, yeah, man, exactly. So how is New York feeling right now about the whole Knicks organization? How are your friends feeling? Like, what's the vibe there?
I think right now it's a temporary high. You know what I mean? I think that's the best way to put it. Everyone's relieved. Everyone's pumped. Phil's gone. But they don't want to face that it's going to be a long rebuilding process to really get the Knicks in the right direction. So I think right now we're celebrating a little that Phil's gone, because it's something that should have been done months or years ago. But I think it's just temporary, and we know there's a lot of work that needs to be done, and we need to get the right guy in here, whether it's, you know, plucking an R.C. Buford from the Spurs. I mean, I don't know if we want to give up assets or going out and getting David Griffin. We really need to get someone in here. Organization. I think that's, like you said, we talked about it starts at the top and it trickles down to your team. And I think it's going to be a new era of Knicks basketball once Carmelo leaves. And I don't know, I'm just hoping they choose the right guy, because Dolan hasn't had the history of choosing that right guy. But I'm happy Isaiah Thomas is out of the mix. I wouldn't even mind promoting Allen Houston, honestly. He's been in the organization. I think he's the assistant GM. And so if they want to promote a guy like that, I know he articulates himself well. He's a Knick legend, and he knows the game of basketball. So if they want to promote someone from within.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. I haven't done too much research on that. I mean, I know Allen Houston, but you know, I don't know how to pronounce the guy, his name. I don't want to butcher it, but I think Masai Ujiri.
Yeah, Masai Ujiri from the Raptors.
Yeah, from the Raptors. They're actually looking at him, and I feel like that would be a great fit. I feel like that would be perfect for him.
Yeah, I know Dolan's definitely had a fascination with this guy ever since we've dealt with him. I mean, on the Carmelo deal when he was in Denver, and then he fleeced us for Andrea Bargnani a few years ago when he was with Toronto. So I think we definitely respect him. But the thing is, I don't want to give up assets to get these guys who are under contract. You know what I mean? Like, next year's first round pick is too valuable to me if we're going to be a bad team.
Exactly. So that's it right there, man. We covered all the bases, really. Just talked about basketball.
A little season preview, a little state of the Knicks right now. It was fun. I had a good time.
Yeah, from actually a New Yorker's perspective about what's going on over there, because all of us over here on the West Coast just going on Twitter and on ESPN. So it was nice to hear from you, Mike.
We'll be bringing me on, Manny. Anytime, man. Anything else comes up, you know, you got to hit me.
as soon as Melo gets out of there, I'm definitely going to call you again. Then we're going to hop on another podcast. So,
I appreciate it.
Yeah, bro, thanks for stopping by. Be easy, bro.
No problem. Peace. Please don't touch my wrath. Step on my Ralph Simmons. Hold on, step on my Ralph Simmons. Hold on, step on my Ralph Simmons. Do you know how much I'm spending? My closet, it worth about a million. To the little bus with the runway. Now she naked in the kitchen. Ralph Simmons. All kind of crazy colors. Living colors. Left wrist, rolling butter. Ice. Made some Margiela my sweater. Mama told me never settle. Ralph Simmons, don't lace him. Got your bitch, it wanna date him. Huh? What? Don't wanna talk about the papers. I swear to God, these niggas.